story that I've never gotten a chance to tell before, about how I actually got to meet J. Cole, like one-on-one, face-to-face, and got to sit with him for like 10, 15 minutes on my own. Really, really funny story. So a couple years back, maybe like 3-4 years back, when he was touring for, he wasn't at the Bell Center, that's when he was touring in small venues, for his mixtape, I think, still at that point. I was going to the show because I'm a huge fan, so I bought tickets for the show. And I thought to myself, this is before Foot Locker, so this is when I worked at my old shop. And I Googled online. I was like, man, I wonder what size shoe he wears, and maybe like I'll bring him a shoe or something, because I always like to do like any kind of marketing or whatever. So I was like, I wonder what he likes, you know? So I Googled, and there was actually an article on J. Cole's favorite shoes. Funny enough. And then one of the shoes that was his favorite, I don't know if it was the Penny, the Orlando Penny or something, but I had a shoe in stock at the time. It was like a Air Force Penny. I don't know if anybody remembers that, but there was like an Orlando colorway of like an Air Force, of an Air Force. And so it was the same colorway that he liked, but it was in the Air Force. So I was like, ooh, you know what? Let me bring this to the show. And I Googled his size and found his size and everything. Anyways, my goal at the end of the day was I'm going to try to meet J. Cole and give him a pair of shoes and do some marketing for my store. That was what I was trying to achieve. Got to the show, had the shoes in a bag, watched the show with my girlfriend. And then I was like, okay, watch. I'm going to get to meet J. Cole and I'm going to bring him a shoe and get a picture. Nobody thought I could do it. So then at the end of the show, well, the whole time during the show, I was talking to security and I was like, hey, I'm from so-and-so store, and I actually brought something for J. Cole. So then the security was like, oh, come see us after the show. Whatever. End of the show, waiting at the door in the back, because the security was like, okay, you're just going to have to wait till like whatever, the crowd clears through. It must have been a good hour and a half, 2 hours. My friend was like, okay, I'm going to go because it's taking so long, so-and-so. So I'm waiting by myself. But at this time, I already invested so much time into waiting to see if I could get to meet him that I just waited. So it was probably a good hour and a half, 2 hours after the show. Finally, the security guard, I mean, everybody left the venue. It was empty. There was nobody else around. So there's basically just his tour bus right outside and a bunch of screaming fans like around the bus also trying to see him, I guess. At this point, I was like, okay, maybe this is not going to happen because it's taking so long. And then at one point, they just called me and they're like, okay, come here. So I follow the guy. He brings me right into J. Cole's bus. And he's like, the bus driver's like, okay, just wait here. So now I'm in J. Cole's tour bus right at the door with the bus driver. And there's kind of like a curtain in between. And so they're like, just wait here. And then next thing you know, J. Cole opens the curtain and he's like, hey. And then I was like, hey. So insane. So then he's like, oh, come. So I get up. I'm sitting in the tour bus alone with J. Cole with like a bag of shoes for him. So now I'm even shocked that I even am there. It's super funny. And then I'm like, oh, hey, I'm from blah, blah, blah store. And, you know, I know this is like a colorway, a pair of shoes. You're really into shoes that you like. So thought I would bring it for you, whatever. And he was like, oh, cool. So then opened it in front of me and then we were just chatting a bit. My goal was to try to get a picture of the shoes and a sign for my store. So that's really what I was trying to do. But he actually refused to take a picture of the sign of the store, which now looking back makes sense because it's like he didn't even know where it was or what he was going to endorse. So I understand. And then he's like, how about we just take a picture, us together? And I was like, shit. Anyways, which was still great. So that was my J. Cole story. So it's just funny how, you know, sneakers, it's happened to me a lot of times with music, and I'm a big music fan, that, you know, having that sneaker connection, I mean, I ended up getting in J. Cole's tour bus privately, like, because I had a pair of shoes for him. Like, that's how sneakers are so crazy that it connects people like that, you know what I mean? Because, anyways, that's my story. I think it's pretty crazy.
So welcome to this special edition of the Sneaker Podcast. We'll call this one maybe Extras. It's a little moment that we take, let's say, with members of the pod or with other people in the industry. And we asked him a couple of questions, maybe interview style or just discussion style. Or let's say, as Cherry just did, drop a couple of stories. Hopefully, it keeps you guys entertained. And it's something additional that we're going to be doing and as an addendum to like our regular sneaker podcast episodes. I hope you guys like this idea. And as you just heard, we have on this first extra, it's Cherry Grewal.
I love that I'm the first one.
Actually, we were pressed for time and you were kind of like the only person that could make it.
I'm an extra person, so extra. This is perfect for me.
So, I remember that story, Cherry. I remember you, that picture of you and J. Cole and stuff. And I remember the pair of sneakers that you brought him. It was like an Air Force One penny colorway that they did, like this mix.
Yeah.
And the thought I had, the first thing that popped into my head when I saw that picture was, yo, I hate that shoe.
Why? But you love that colorway too.
I like Penny Hardaway. They did two Air Force Ones. In a like Penny Hardaway type makeup.
Mm-hmm.
The other one that they made was like all white with the swoosh, with the crackled swoosh.
Okay.
Which is kind of like the Penny Hardaway swoosh, which is like a blue swoosh with like cracks in it. And on the bottom, on the sole of the shoe, you see the Penny logo.
Oh, okay.
That's the one that I like. The other one I'm not so much a fan of. I think it's the color blocking or whatnot.
Yeah.
But hey. J. Cole got a free pair of shoes.
I mean,
It got you through the door.
So it got me through the door. I mean, wow, that's a good memory. I forget sometimes, but that was pretty cool. And pretty easy. It's good bait, man. Sneakers.
Sneakers is good.
It's good.
So,
and the joke is you would think these celebrities and whatever, you know, they can just get whatever anytime, but it's still a very hot, it still gets them. Like
I've had a discussion with like a big wig in the sneaker industry, and it's all about like, because sometimes in Canada we get different type of releases than in the US.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we fall under like international, like Europe and stuff, and sometimes we fall within North America, US. This time we were falling more under international, so we were getting a sneaker that they weren't getting in the US, or they were getting it later.
Mm-hmm.
And I just mentioned to this big name guy that, hey, we're getting the sneaker. And he got really excited about it. And then he apologized. He goes, sorry, I just really like sneakers.
Right.
So that was the thing. So then it started making sense to me. He goes, I just really like sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess sometimes, even if you're like, you're a big name, you forget about all that. And you fall back to, man, I can't wait to open the box. Man, I can't wait to lace them up.
It's so funny.
They probably just do it at a faster rate. Like, yeah, they can get more shoes.
It's funny because, like, I mean, can I tell another story? Like, another part?
Yeah,
like,
go ahead.
Like, because this has happened to me several times. So, maybe a few months before or after this J. Cole thing. I don't remember if it was before or after. But also at my old store, I had a call on the phone. And a customer was like, hey, do you have any size 14s, 13s, whatever? And I was like, oh, I have 13s. Not much 14s, but I have 13s. He sounded American, because I could tell by the accent he sounded American. He's like, okay, I'm going to take a cab and come. So then, an hour later, whatever, this big, American-looking guy, I say American-looking because sometimes you can just tell, it's like a big security guard-looking person, you know? And he had an accent. So I'm like, oh, are you the guy who called? And he's like, yeah. So then I'm helping him, and then I'm just a curious person. So I was like, oh, where are you from? You're traveling from the States? And he's like, yeah, I'm from Texas. I was like, Texas? Who comes to Montreal from Texas? Like, who makes that trip? It's just kind of random. And he's like, oh, I work for the Beyonce show. And I was like, oh, okay, because Beyonce's concert was that night in Montreal a couple years back.
And Beyonce is your queen, babe.
Beyonce is my soul sister, So anyways, he's like, yeah, I'm here for the Beyonce show. And then I was like, ding, ding, ding. And I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. And I was like, so what do you do for the show? Like, whatever. It's her tour manager. So I was like, Jesus, this is crazy. So then I'm helping him, but I didn't want to be, typical and be, say, like, oh, yeah, tickets or something. So I was just helping him doing my thing, but my insides were, like, exploding, like, raging. So I was like, holy cow, this is crazy. I'm a big concert fan. Not that I can't buy my own tickets, but it's, like, cool, Like, you work for the show, you're a tour manager. I'm really into that. So helping him out, so-and-so, I still hadn't said anything, and then I had to go get him some shoes, and then on my way down, I was like, just letting you know, I am a huge Beyonce fan. Wink, wink. And then he was like, haha. And then apparently when I went down, he asked the girl I was working with, and he was like, oh, is she really a fan? Like, is she really that much of a fan? And the girl was like, yeah, she's super fan. So when I came back up, I didn't even have to ask him. Like, he was like, hey, are you busy tonight? And then I was like, not really. Like, I finished work. And then he's like, I'm going to see if I can get you tickets. And I was like, really?
Yeah.
I was like, that's crazy. Like, really? And he's like, yeah. He's like, I just got to see if I have any extra, but I'll let you know. And I was like, yo, that's super cool. Anyways, I didn't know for sure if he'd actually message me, but he did. And then I Googled him. I Googled his name because I was just curious. And then everything checked out. So he's actually Beyonce's cousin. It's her actual blood first cousin. And he's her tour manager. And it's online, like his name, everything checked out. So I was like, wow, this is crazy. He ended up actually messaging me, gave me, like, incredible tickets. Like, when her hair, I don't know if you remember when her hair got caught in the fan at the Montreal show. I could have touched her if I stretched my arm. Like, I was in the beehive.
You could have saved her.
I could have saved her. If I just didn't, you know, want to jump over people. But I was that close that I could have touched her. And I sound like a total creep right now, but you know what I'm saying. So I was in the beehive, so the beehive seats are the friends and family. So he got me those seats, and we're still in touch, which is so weird because it's Beyonce's, like, tour manager, and, like, he'll text me for shoes, which I think is crazy because, I mean, you're Beyonce's tour manager. But, you know, you look at these people and you think, okay, but they're just, they don't necessarily have that kind of access. You would think he could just ask his own cousin and be like, hey, Jay, like, brother-in-law, help me out. But he's texting me because I have apparently better access. So it's very, very funny.
Maybe it is a thing. Like, shoes, regardless of who you are, shoes will sell out in different areas.
Yeah.
And it's not like people will set aside a bunch of shoes. These are for in case stars contact us. Like, if they sell out, they sell out, and that's it.
Well, right? People have full-time jobs in the States that they just buy to resell to celebrities. Like, there's literally guys who have full-time jobs. That's what they do. They buy and resell for celebs. They make crazy money because they have celebrity that pay them because they want the shoes because they literally can't get them. So it's crazy. That happened with me, Beyonce. It happened with J. Cole. It just happened with Kendrick. I just went to the Kendrick show for free. I didn't even get a chance to tell you. One of my friends in New York was like, yo, you should connect with my friend in LA because he's a big sneakerhead. Never met the guy. Like, we're not friends. Like, it's my friend's friend. But my actual friend was like, you should connect with him because he's into sneakers. And I was like, sure. Works for Roc Nation. Like, and now we haven't even met in person. But I went to the Kendrick show for free. Why? Because I'm in sneakers and he's in sneakers. Never did him any favors. He hasn't done, well, he got me the show tickets, but something with sneakers makes people somehow trust people, and it's kind of like joggers. You know, when joggers, you're jogging on the street. Well, I'm not a jogger, so I don't know, but joggers have, like, a jogger signal that you're like, hey, you're a jogger, I'm a jogger. And, like, motorcycle people have that, like, oh, I'm on a motorcycle, you're on a motorcycle, so you're kind of automatically friends. And that's how it's been for me. You know, I went to the Weeknd show for free. I told you that, I think.
Yeah, I don't keep track anymore.
Yeah, like, Weeknd, his security guys came in the store, talking to them, helping them out, and now I'm friends.
Oh, no, you talked about this on the pod.
Yeah, and all these guys, and that's what's cool, too, about sneakers and why I'm in it so much is because it's so intertwined with music for me. Like, it's crazy. So, yeah, it's pretty fun.
So, so at the beginning of this little segment, we had spoken about, like, oh, well, Cherry, why is she the first person being featured on this extra? During the pod, for several weeks, you have been MIA.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of people have been messaging us.
Really?
Yeah. They've been saying, hey, is Cherry still on the pod? Where's Cherry? Is there beef?
No.
There's beef. But maybe you can, like, just tell the people you've been doing these past couple of weeks. And it's not like, it wasn't a planned thing. Every week we do try to get everyone on the pod at the same time. And then shit happens, shit goes down. Like, we do have, like, work family, mm-hmm. and other stuff going on. And sometimes scheduling just doesn't work. And
yeah.
we just keep on going on with the podcast. But sometimes some people just can't make it. It's not an intentional thing. It's an unfortunate thing.
It's beef, guys. It's yeah. beef. No, wow. it's okay. No, I've just been... It's back to school. So work has just been taking a lot of my time. And I just had to focus. So even that one night, you know, to pod together, I need that time to just decompress and, like, not talk about sneakers for a couple hours maybe, you know? So yeah. it's just, yeah. And there was one night I had a family thing, so...
We've even tried to... schedule a phone call. Like, Cherry is in the same city, but she's so busy that she had to do work. And while she's working, I said, hey, do you have like a 10 minutes where you can get on the phone with us? And she was like, yes, like you're down with that mm-hmm. idea, because this puts you on the recording and it allows you to just participate even though you like you're not traveling that 10 minutes to get to us. And even that didn't go through yeah. because boom, all of a sudden you were like, yo, it's super busy, super yeah. hectic. I can't make it. And so we're like, okay.
I just give my focus. Yeah. I just had to stay focused on it. That's all.
Well, so unfortunately you haven't been able to appear on the pod these last couple of weeks, but what it did is force us to kind of adjust and then boom, mm-hmm. start this little extra shit that we're doing cool. right now.
Yeah.
So you still get to be part of the pod because she is not out of the pod. Okay. Just to clear things up with everyone. So here we did something on our side, like Mike, Chloe, Alex, and myself. We were able to give a personal story of our choosing a couple of episodes back, and we split it up in several episodes so that we didn't just like bum rush everyone. We're going to do something similar with you. You were able to give like a couple of tidbit stories about like sneakers and like celebrities and whatnot. But maybe we can give the people an image of where you are in relation to sneakers and your work
mm-hmm.
and how you got there maybe.
Okay.
Like
how it started?
Yeah.
I think we maybe brought it up in a past pod a little bit, but I don't know how much like...
How about we start with... Okay. Cherry used to work for another boutique in Montreal.
Yeah. So I used to work... I was still in university. I worked at the YMCA. And then a friend of mine wanted to open up a store and... asked me to, you know, get in on it and work together. And so I left my job at the Y to start this store. But at the time there was no sneakers. It was just clothing and, you know, like urban, like it was still in the style of like the long tees were still in. People were still buying those plain, solid, long to your knees shirts, you know, long tees basically. And then the cartoon printed shirts, like in New York, everybody has like, you know, there'll be a big SpongeBob with like gold chains, and that was actually still selling at that point. But in the hood, like it was still hood hot, you know? Like we had do-rags and like mixtapes. So it was 2008 maybe-ish, I believe. 2008 maybe, if I'm not wrong. Anyways, so started that and quit my job. I was still finishing university. And I think 2 years into it is when we started getting shoes. I would like to say it was kind of my idea, personally, because a lot of customers were asking me for shoes and we didn't have shoes. And the thing was that, you know, investing and buying shoes is a lot of money because, you know, you have to think full size runs and you can't just buy like a small, medium, large. You need to buy size 8 at least for men up to size 13. So... And it takes up a lot of space, you know, so for whatever space you have, shoes takes up a lot of room. So there was like a lot of factors why we hadn't gotten shoes at the time, but then there was a demand for it. So then I took it upon myself to kind of get some Rockaware shoes because Rockaware was still popping in those years. Well, not popping, but hood, still popping a little bit in the hood. So we had Rockaware, and then they were like, oh, why don't you try these shoes out? They had a black and white. It was kind of like this boat shoe. Probably have a picture I could find That would be cool, right?
Show a picture. I don't know. Okay.
Just to see it. I'll find one. I think I probably have it somewhere. So got those shoes, and there was a black pair, a white pair. Got maybe like a six of each or something, and I sold them within like a day, which is really good. Like, just had these new styles, put them in the store, and they sold out. Then I went to get more merchandise. Like, the following day, I was like, okay, I need more. Got more, sold them out again. So then we were like, okay, it just gave us confidence. Like, okay, I think we could actually sell shoes. And then the whole Nike thing, you know, everybody's like, it's so hard. It's
That's really a whale.
Big. Yeah, you know, yeah. So, and it is. It's not easy, but I feel like it was, like, not to sound corny, but God's plan or something for that all to work out, because somehow it worked out. And I literally, you know, you have to try to contact somebody, like an email, and you send it out, and then it literally tells you, like, you might get a response, like, 3 to 6 to a year later, 3 to 6 months or a year later, like, if you even get a response. Somehow I managed to get a response within a month. Don't know how that happened, but it did. And then we got a Nike account, and then I actually made the first buy. I don't know if I've told you this, but I made the first buy on my own, like, the first order, and wow, botched it. I probably bought the worst. I don't know if you saw the store at the time, but I bought some really ugly shit.
Like, what was the shoe?
I don't even know, because I didn't know shoes. You don't at the know time. Sneakers? I wasn't into sneakers at that point. We didn't even sell sneakers. I personally was just a person who bought sneakers. You know, I remember being a kid and seeing up tempos and liking them, but I just liked them because it was like, oh, that's a cool sneaker. I like how it looks, but there was no anything else to it.
No reason.
Air Max 97s, yeah. Like the silver bullets. I remember those as a kid. I just liked them because they were shiny and silver. You know, yep. There was no, I wore those to cut the grass. I've told you guys on the pod before, like, those were my running shoes that my mom bought me that I liked, and I wore them to cut the grass. Now thinking back, I'm like, oh my God, I wish I never did that. But that's all shoes were to me. Like, I liked something, I wore it to do whatever. Now when I buy shoes and I like them, I actually take care of them. And anyway, so point of that is just, I wasn't into sneakers at that point yet as I am now. It was just what it was. So I'm picking out of this catalog and, you know, at the office, like, looking at shoes, and I'm just picking like I would pick when I was a kid, because that's all I knew. So I was looking at the wall like, that's a nice color, right? Like, I don't know what I'm buying. I was just like, well, that looks cool, that looks nice. And I picked the most garbage stuff. Like, if anybody was to see what I bought, like, it was just bad. It was just really, really bad. It was so bad that I think Nike even felt bad that I bought that stuff. They took it all back.
Oh, serious?
Yeah, because, you know, sometimes you could do swaps, and won't go into detail of how that works, but they let me swap out the styles because I think they probably thought, like, that was a pretty hideous
lineup.
Order. And even my size runs. The joke is that I knew a guy back then when I was making the order, and he worked at Foot Locker, which is hilarious. He worked at Foot Locker in Fairview. His name was Shant or something. Anyways, doesn't work there anymore. But I remember calling him. He was my friend's friend. And I was asking my friend, like, what sizes do I order? Like, how do I do this? You know, if I'm ordering And then she's like, call my friend. He works at Foot Locker. And then I called him and I'm like, hey, like, what kind of size run, like, would I get? And then he's like, you know, this many eights, this many 8.5s. Like, I actually got my size run from a Foot Locker guy, which is so funny. And so, yeah, anyways, that was that. And then they let us swap up the styles eventually. Like, when my partner had seen what a horrible purchase I made, we luckily got to switch them out. And, yeah, so that's how shoes started. And then I just saw when customers would come in, like, I remember we had the Concords. Concord, no, we had the cool gray 11s.
Yeah.
That was one of our first things that we got. That was a big deal. Because in the beginning, they don't send you necessarily, like, the hottest stuff when you're, like, a new account. Like, you might get some random stuff here and there. But then we actually got the cool gray 11s. We didn't even know at that point. The sneaker culture in Montreal wasn't even there yet at that time. Well, we didn't know.
Yeah.
We didn't even know what we were in at the time. Again, this is probably 2010. 2010, is that when the Cool Grays came out?
Yeah.
Okay, so 2010. So we had the Cool Grays. To us, it's just some Jordans that are gray that are nice. We don't even know what we have. And then that's when people started to find out, like, what is this random store in the middle of nowhere that has cool gray 11s? So we only learned about it through people. because we did not know. Mm-hmm. And then we had people coming in buying like several pairs. And then at that time, I think we actually charged more for the shoes. We charged more than retail. I don't know if you remember that.
No.
But yeah, there was a point where we were like, it was just funny because we, to be honest, didn't know what we were even in here. So because there was kids buying them and they were buying to resell them in the States, their cousin calling their cousin in the U.S. like, hey, there's cool gray 11s. And we're like, what the frig is going on? So anyways, after the cool grays, I think the next big thing must have been the Foamposites, the Galaxy Foams. Because when did those come out?
2012.
Was it 2 years later?
No, 2013 maybe.
Really?
I don't remember.
No.
Yeah.
We got to look that up. But anyways, yeah. What were you saying?
I think maybe this fast forward to the point where you left the store. Because I think this is where your story kind of takes a slight turn. You left the sneaker boutique.
Yeah.
At that point, I remember having a conversation with you and... like, I didn't want to ask you right away, like, what were your thoughts on, like, what's next for you? Mm-hmm. Because all you knew for several years was sneakers, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, my plan was originally to, like, I finished university and I was thinking I'm going to work at the YMCA long term. I was, like, I wanted to be, like, director of the YMCA or something. That was kind of my field at school. And a lot of people that graduated my program go into that. And I love the Y, and it's you know, fits me. And I was like, oh, I'm going to aim to be, like, a big director at the YMCA. But then the whole sneaker thing happened, and, like, obviously I got a business acumen and learned a lot from that. And then I just got into the culture of it. I myself became into sneakers and buying sneakers. And so after I left the shop, that was, like, a turning point where I was like, okay, what do I do now? Like, you remember when I was leaving, I was like, oh, okay. Like, I don't know. Do I go a completely other direction? I know I could get some kind of office job, like, whatever. I don't know. But my heart was, like, my heart was in this. And it's in it because it's not the sneakers itself. Like, I know it's really, you know, as I tell you guys, like, there's stuff around the sneakers that's what is fun for me. You know what I mean? Like, music, again, that's one of my biggest things. There's some weird, I know I might sound really corny right now, but there's some weird connections that have happened because of sneakers. That's why I don't let it go.
And music.
Music and, like, just friendships. Like, there's just a lot of personal connection stuff that has happened with this whole sneaker thing. That's why I'm still sticking to it.
I get it.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I had a job offer that was, like, really good money. A couple
Can you
years
say
ago.
What it was? Oh, like while you were at Foot Locker already, or
no? When I was
in
when
between
I had
stuff.
In between, you know, it was great money and whatever, and I decided not to go with it because I was just like, you know what? I just don't see myself sitting at a desk, you know, talking to people through the computer, calling people. You know, it's just not at all me. It's not my personality. I don't see myself doing it. You know, and the thing with sneakers, and I mean, I think people who know me, they. Even strangers, they're like, you have so much fun, like, every day. Like, you just look like you're having... like, work is fun. You know what I mean?
I get it.
It's fun. Like, it's... I just... and now I'm just at a point where I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I hope this thing can keep going for a really long time. Because, like, I have fun every day. Like, there's not a day that I go to work and I'm like, this is not fun. And even the worst days, like, even today I'm kind of, like, stressed and there's a lot going on. Good stuff, but just I'm busy. And but there's nothing about it that there's a day that I'm like, I don't want to be in this at all.
I think you did get a job like at a fashion store, like a clothing store, right?
Yeah.
I remember you talking and saying that you got this job, and I think you were hoping that you could have what you got in the sneaker world translate into like the fashion world, right?
Yeah, and it's not the same. A, it was a women's store. And, there was just one day I was in there, it was maybe 2 months into it or something, and I was just like, literally, I went on my lunch, and I was like, this is not it. Like, there was just a vibe, I just followed my instinct, and I was just like, I didn't have a backup plan, I was just like, went for lunch, ordered a drink at a bar, like in a movie, and I told the bartender, I'm like, I'm gonna quit my job. And he was like, okay, A, who are you? And
it's
B,
only
like,
noon.
Yeah, and yeah. I was like, I'm going to go back and quit. And during I had a drink, And I was eating, had a drink. I texted my, like, boss, and I was just like, this is not it. Like, I was like, there's nothing personal, but this is, I'm looking for, like, the rest of my life, and this is not, it's not at all the rest of my life, so I'm not going to bother. It was bold, but it just wasn't at all. You know what I mean? So.
And I think you also had, like, different opportunities, also sneaker-related with, like, different other companies.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were, like, okay. Some of them, like, they just weren't the right fit.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing is, like, I don't know how much deep I should. I don't want to get in too much of, like, companies and work and that. But all I could say is just, like, you know, where I'm at is I'm super happy. Like, I love my job. I love where I work. I love my company. Like, and this is not like a commercial here for Foot Locker, but all I'm saying is just like, it's cool. 'Cause like, I hope everybody in their career can like connect everything together. Like I feel like fulfilled, like, it's as corny as it sounds, but it's like, I feel fulfilled 'cause I enjoy sports. I enjoy basketball. I enjoy music. I enjoy hip hop. I enjoy 90s. I enjoy this kind of fashion. It's everything about this life and lifestyle and the customers that come in is exactly me. You know what I mean?
Like, I don't mind if this little part, it does sound a bit like a commercial for Foot Locker because it is where you work.
Yeah.
And like when we speak to other people, they'll probably talk about their work. And right. It's just going to sound, depending on how much they love it and whatnot, it's going to sound like some way or some not. I don't mind that it sounds like a commercial because at some point, I remember when I was young and I was like, okay, if I ever want to work in the sneaker industry, I have to be a designer.
Right.
Or like an engineer to design the sneakers, like the tech and all that. But it's not that. It's not only that.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much more that you can do within the sneaker industry to work with sneakers.
For sure.
Your skill doesn't need to be artistic. It doesn't need to be like super technical right now. It could be what you're doing.
Right.
Right. Through sales and then eventually management. And
yeah. I mean, through sales is the best. I mean, I think
the easiest entry level, like your foot in type of thing.
I think it's smart. Like, yeah. I think anybody who's like young and is like aspires to do something with it. I mean, a lot of major people have worked in Foot Locker or it's, you know, I think it's not a mistake, but kind of, because it's like, there's nothing better than working that ground, you know, that base. Like, that's the base, man. Like, you work on
the foundation of, like, what a company is built upon.
Yeah, and just you learn so much. Like, I think that's the mistake sometimes people might make is, like, yeah, you want to get to, like, the top of the mountain here, like, right away. But, like, you need some kind of experience, you know what I mean? So, I think...
And it's good to know the company's ins and outs, like, from the bottom to the top. And, like, if you know how to do the entry stuff, then you'll be, once you get to the top, you'll be able to speak about everything.
For sure. And it's a great experience. I think anybody young who's into sneakers or whatever, like, it's you should, why not follow your passion and get a job in something like that you like?
But like, even, like, in accounting, in law, in whatever, you can do all that within the sneaker industry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when when I visited the head office of Foot Locker in New York, that building is not just a building full of people wearing referee jerseys, right?
No.
It's everything else. And then you see, when you listen to these people talk, you're like, they're pushing sneakers, but with their law degrees, with real estate, it's insane. And that's why I'm like, wow, just because you can't, like design your doesn't mean that your sneaker career ends there. You can do other stuff.
So much other stuff, yeah, for sure.
And you can get in through so many different ways.
How?
Right? And I think that's why it's interesting to speak with you because your career within Foot Locker, so you've gone, can you make me tell us where, what you've done? Like what's the different positions or like what you've handled before?
Well, I came in straight as management because I've had past management experience. So I've just been in management right now. I mean,
but your tasks within management is like you do sales,
mm-hmm.
Right. Then you handle all the admin stuff.
I mean, listen, anybody who's in any kind of retail management is pretty much the same thing, you know. Your hands are in everything. Whether it's scheduling or it's stock, your hands are in everything. You're selling, you're, you know, in the back office, you're cleaning, like, you do everything. But that's any retail management is kind of like that, so.
I think also mentioning the way that you are, like, progressing in your career is by combining, like, what you like on, like, outside of work, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the music, the fashion, and all that. Let's say when I was thinking about doing something in the sneaker industry, never came into mind. It was all like, okay, we could only do things one way. Mm-hmm. But now with all, like, social media and everything, like, there's social media positions.
Yeah.
Within the sneaker industry.
Yeah.
So everything that you're doing on the daily has become, like, a job.
Yeah.
Right? Knowing how to promote, knowing how to, like, market.
Yeah.
So much is, relies upon marketing as well.
Yeah.
That's another part of the job. Like, there's so many people I follow on Instagram that work for different either brands or stores, and their life just seems so cool. Mm-hmm. But they're not the sneaker designers.
Right.
They're like all the people surrounding sneakers, and you're like, their job is cool too. Their life is cool too.
Yeah.
And it just shows that there's not just one path. There's different things that you can do. Let's get into music, since we've mentioned it several times.
Mm-hmm.
What's the last thing that's been bumping?
I mean, last week, because of the Kendrick show, I've been just listening to his album and stuff. But, yeah, that's kind of... To be honest, I've just been really busy. The last thing I could tell you that I've been bumping is really Kendrick, just because I went through the whole album before the show. So
that you could learn the lyrics and stuff?
Yeah, so I could try to learn. I mean,
and in case you happen to...
Trying to meet him. I was trying really hard, but it didn't end up happening. But hopefully, maybe in a month, there is a chance. I won't say anything to jinx it just yet, but stay tuned, because I'm on a mission.
I was looking for this track for a very long time to listen on my my phone. It was something that I found on YouTube. It's like a DJ. I think Tesher is his name or something. Or okay. He goes by Tesher. And he mixed Drake's Back to Back with Florence and the Machine's Delilah.
Okay, and it was good?
So he just calls it Back to Delilah. Yeah, and I was listening for a long time on YouTube, and then someone removed it because of, I guess, copyright or whatnot. But I went, just recently, I was like, yo, I really miss listening to that song. So I just Googled it on where I could maybe, like, download it or stream it, and I found that guy's, like, Facebook page or whatnot, and he just posted a link on where to get it.
Oh.
And it's through an app on iPhone.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo. And I was able to download it. I'm like, this is so awesome. So I've been playing that on loop. That and the Jay-Z, Jay Electronica, We Made It remix that they did.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's what you're bumping?
That and that, yeah. And the new Wu-Tang that came out. Or the new Wu-Tang that got, like, leaked or whatever.
Haven't heard that.
Yeah.
Haven't heard that. I'm going to a show, what's it called? In November, I don't know if you listened to Six Lack? Excuse me if I'm pronouncing it wrong, but I think it's Six Lack.
It's the word
or
black. With the number six in the front.
But I keep botching it, and my friend's like, what are you saying? I still don't even know what the right term is. But anyways, he's coming into town, so that's cool. I bump him a lot. But yeah, that's kind of my thing. There's some stellar universe connection with me and sneakers that I feel like this is just what I'm supposed to be doing, because there's too many weird coincidences, you know?
Hmm.
And there's, like, a cherry Jordan colorway, so that's weird.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Not how many people have their own name with a shoe?
Yeah, absolutely, totally.
There's a couple of cherry colorways.
There's a Chris PE coming up.
Chris what?
PE, player edition.
It's called
edition.
Chris PE?
Yeah, yeah, I'm designing it right now. It's
like, shut up.
Fuck off.
But yeah. So yeah, that's my thing.
Mm-hmm. So, do you have maybe one last cool cherry story that you can drop for the people?
I mean, it's there's not much of a sneaker story. It's just another funny artist story that happened, but...
Yeah, go.
So, you know the song, I'm in love with the Coco? Of course you do. Your daughter names Coco. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, OT Genesis. So funny. There was a lot of celebrities in Montreal this year. A lot. A lot. We had Akon. I think I told you guys that on one of the pods.
Akon's the man.
Akon's the man. Yeah, he came in. Anyway, so I'm also, again, on lunch break. I was coming back through the door. And then one of my... It's always my poor staff. I feel so bad for them. Because... I don't know if they're too shy or they just are trying to be nice so they don't want to bug the people, but they always run and tell me like, oh, so-and-so is in the store. And then me, I just beeline and I go straight for them to get a picture. And then my poor staff's just always waiting like, we want a picture too. But then it's always me. I feel really bad. I'm sorry, guys. So one of my staff is like, yo, that's OT Genesis. And then in the moment, I was like, I know who OT Genesis is, but damn, like... Totally don't even know what he looks like because, of course, I know I've heard OT Genesis. I know, and then I was like, oh, that's the I'm in love with the Coco. I'm a 90s music, I don't really pay attention to too much new stuff. So I was like, oh shit, of course, I want to get a picture and whatever. So then I run upstairs, run get my uniform because I was on lunch. So I run get my uniform, come back down. I was like, shoot, my name tag's not on because when you take a picture with your uniform, you got to make sure your uniform is proper, you know. So then I run back down and then I walk up to the guy and I'm like, hey, do you mind if I just take a picture like for the store? And then he was like, yeah, maybe you should ask him. So I went up to the wrong guy.
Oh, very nice.
I went up to one of his like friend groupie people.
Wow.
To ask him for a picture. Like an idiot. And then he's like, yeah, sure, but maybe you should ask him yourself. And I was like, oh my God, this is super embarrassing. But anyways, and then I was like, hey, do you mind if I take a picture? What a nice guy. He's very, very nice. Got my picture, and then he was like, oh, whatever. Are you coming to the show? And I was like, oh, I gotta work. I'm closing. Can't come. Work till 9, whatever. But yeah, I'm an OT Genesis fan. He's very, very nice, polite.
I've seen him in interviews. He's pretty funny, too.
He's really, yeah. Did you see his crip walk?
Yeah. No.
Crazy curveball. But yeah, really nice guy. But so that was funny, because in the moment, sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't even... Yeah, that was a funny story.
All right.
Cheering moment.
That's cool. So, to all our listeners, I hope you guys like this little extra that we put together for the sneaker podcast. Let us know in comments or in DM whether this fills the time for you properly. There's some weeks where we'll take breaks and maybe we'll drop a little 30 minutes, 45 minutes of conversation for you guys. And
hey, what do you think of the Jordan 32s?
Let's do this. I like them because they nod to the Jordan 2 a lot.
Well, duh, that's the point.
Yeah, I know, but I like it when they really they don't copy a previous number, but they remix it a bit, and there's a clear nod to the 2.
But it's not too corny copy.
No. Good. And they integrated a lot of fashion elements into it.
Yeah.
Right. I'm a big fan. I don't know how playable they will be like for performance and such, but I gotta think that this is totally Russell Westbrook.
Mm.
Like it's really his vibe and shit like that.
Yeah.
Like, did you see a picture of him wearing Air Monarchs?
No, I didn't.
Yo, he was wearing off-white socks, like super long socks, and Air Monarchs.
Oh, my God.
At a WNBA game. And it was like, I was like, dang, yeah. He's the guy that's going to make them hotter than they already are now because Monarchs are super hot. Yeah.
So hot.
Yeah. That's so, yeah, true. That was so cool.
But, yeah, they're cool. I saw the picture and I was like, whoa. First, I was like, oh, this is nice.
And
feeling it.
Yeah, so... There's one more thing I want to do. Someone mentioned to us, one of the listeners sent us a message saying...
That they missed me?
Yeah, they did. They said that. But also, can you guys keep on with the photo assignments?
Mm-hmm.
Because it pushes them. They like it. They want more photo assignments. So I don't know if you have an idea. You want an idea that you would like to see the people start taking photos of? Okay, since you mentioned Jordans, how about a Jordan?
Okay.
Sorry, you Adidas fans, but a Jordan this week. What?
So I'm giving an assignment of a shoot of a picture I want to see?
Particular way to shoot Jordan.
Oh, my God. Okay, I got it. How about Summer 17? So it's like an homage to your Summer 17. That's the assignment.
I like that. Okay,
Summer's so, almost over, so...
Or Jordan sneaker Summer 17.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah. All right, cool. That's the photo assignment.
Okay.
Nice one, Cherry.
Thanks.
Okay, so... there it is, guys. Thanks for tuning in. If you want to find Cherry on the social medias, where can they find you?
Cherry.Graywall.
And you can find the rest of the Sneaker Podcast crew at The Sneaker Podcast. Tune in next time when we might have a full episode for everyone. And where the whole crew will be there.
Woo! Yes, hopefully I can be there too.
Yep. All right, people. Thanks a lot for tuning in.
Bye.